It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. So more than two decades removed from his long tenure at the State Department of Natural Resources, George Meyer still has a read on conservation policy, and we recognize that. We want to discuss policy with perspective from a 30-year career at the DNR, including 11 years as secretary, starting under former Governor Tommy Thompson. Followed that up with 18 years leading the citizen conservation group called Wisconsin Wildlife Federation until retiring in 2021. Call in with your questions about environmental policy affecting our state's natural resources through time, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. George Meyer, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you very much for having me, Kate.
How is the policy focus of the groups that you worked with and headed up different today than in the past?
Well, I think right now there's still a lot of citizen engagement through organizations such as Wisconsin Wildlife Federation and other environmental conservation groups. They often now, our focus, unfortunately, has been to try to preserve the protection and the policies that protect and enhance natural resources. When I started, it was really an exciting age. Many laws were just coming on board, Clean Water Act, Clean Air Act, Endangered Species Act, stewardship law was coming on. So it was a time of expansion and good, solid funding for conservation. That has changed substantially these days.
Was it easier or more difficult to affect change? I mean, to find consensus on conservation policy initiatives in the past?
It was. And, and I started in the 1970s and was at DNR up until 2000. There was a good consensus among the almost the full political spectrum and political parties of the importance of conservation and environmental protection. The citizens have always had, and still to this day, have a very strong majority that are very support those activities, whether it be managing species or protecting water quality and air quality. But in fact, over time, there's been a political divide over those issues. Funding for political campaigns by interest groups has played a major role in striking this divide in many times between the parties. That doesn't mean there aren't individual legislators on both sides that want to work, but the leadership tends to be more divisive on conservation environmental issues.
One thing that is so front and center in our environment now is PFAS, the legacy of these human-made chemicals, forever chemicals, just turning up in wells all over. What further steps should the state be taking to address PFAS pollution?
That's an excellent, very timely question. And it's important to sportsmen that I represented for many years, because now there's fish advisories were in many bodies of water, finding up in the Great Lakes, where people can't eat or have to restrict their diet of fish that are harvested. But obviously, the major threat these days is to people's drinking water in many spots throughout the state. Our state is falling behind other states, the neighboring states, Minnesota, Michigan, that have provided leadership. And there's been strong lobbying efforts restricting the Department of Natural Resources from doing its job under the law to implement proper standards and implement those standards to reduce and clean up PFAS in the environment. It's called a forever chemical. It stays there forever. So you need to restrict putting into the environment to start with, and you have to get it out of the environment because it continues to spread through their groundwater. It doesn't just stay under one property. It spreads out to neighbors' homes or businesses.
From your viewpoint, who should pay for the cleanup and, you know, resolving this legacy pollution?
Well, the policy in this country and in this state has been what's known as polluter pays. And basically those responsible should take the lead, or their insurance companies should take the lead cleaning up. That's been the policy in this country for over 50 years. Now, many of these, at times, the business can't afford it or has actually gone out of business. In those situations, the taxpayer ends up funding it. And then that happens in many cases. So that's the trouble with this, because it gets more costly as PFAS spread through the waters, groundwaters and surface waters of the state.
We're talking about environmental conservation with George Meyer, former head of the Department of Natural Resources and the Wisconsin Wildlife Federation. You can join in along the way on Natural Resources, 800-642-1234. Let's turn to climate change now. Governor Evers is expected to propose several initiatives to address climate change in his budget. What should be done to really tackle climate change in Wisconsin?
Well, the main thing is to change how we heat our homes, how we fuel our vehicles, and reduce, and on a national level, keep on working with other countries, because this is a worldwide issue, and leverage other companies and be an example of how we need to restrict the emissions of CO2 and methane into the environment. And everybody can help out on this. A lot of it is energy efficiency, making sure you're using energy efficient devices, insulating your homes. But then we need to support the transition to wind and solar, and in my opinion, safe nuclear to in fact get away from fossil fuel use. It has an impact on the environment. Sportsmen know that, because we are outdoors a lot and have seen the increase in temperature and the impact on seasons and species over the last 50 years. The change in terms of precipitation. I live in southern Wisconsin. We've been getting many more frequent heavy storms, which cause erosion problems, water quality problems. So we have to stem the increase and start cutting back on CO2 emissions.
When did the conversations in government and in conservation groups happen in your time? I mean, how is climate change more of a consideration of policymakers now compared to when you were DNR secretary?
Well, it's interesting. When I was secretary in the 1990s, myself and as secretary of Wisconsin DNR and other environmental agency leaders throughout the state were having that kind of discussion. And we're getting educated at that time about it. It was really a new concept. The public was not as involved. But I can tell you with the Department of Natural Resources at that time was leading the nation in terms of educating the public in Wisconsin and also supporting energy efficiency measures, working collectively with our utilities, who were in fact very open to doing that because it also had positive economic impacts for them. It became later, about 15 years ago, it became another one of these divisive partisan issues, often fueled by the energy industry, and largely in the oil and gas era, and politicians in other states that are largely funded, their campaigns funded by those interests. So it became sort of a darker period and became something that was almost, dangerous, not dangerous, but difficult to make progress on from a policy standpoint.
When it was politicized.
Now I think the public has broken through that.
Okay.
And the politicians are starting to get more and more, and there are more programs being developed. But we lost a lot of important time in dealing with the issue, and it made it more difficult and costly to deal with it because of that lag in time.
George Meyer is a longtime Wisconsin conservation advocate, former DNR leader, reflecting on current conservation policies, the direction of environmental work in our state. Colin, with your questions along the way, your observations about natural resource issues, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Former DNR Chief George Meyer has witnessed decades of conservation policy and environmental protections in Wisconsin. And in a more recent era, as we've been talking about, watched an agency trying to navigate and respond to the climate crisis. Call in with your questions, comments about Wisconsin's natural resources, 800-642-1234. Let's go to Diane in Iron County. Hi, Diane.
Hi. I was just at a meeting yesterday about the turtle flambeau flowage, and parks are supposed to be self-sustaining, and there is no money to take care of this jewel of the north. They were saying that in Minnesota, the state pays about $11 per visitor to all their parks, state parks. In Wisconsin, it was something like either $1.50 or $1.80 per person is spent on resources for people visiting parks. We don't have wardens or rangers that are patrolling the waters to make sure people aren't over-harvesting. There isn't enough money to take care of the campsites. They're asking for volunteers. It's terrible.
Diane, thank you for bringing that to the table. And George, what do you hear in Diane's thoughts about the dollars going into maintenance and efforts to keep, you know, the turtle flambeau flowage within the conservation boundaries?
I'm glad Diane raised this issue. And it's while it clearly is happening at the turtle flambeau flowage, it's happening at many properties throughout the state. The state has really lagged in funding maintenance of the properties. There is support, obviously, for land acquisition. But when you do that, you have to fund taking care of it. So you really are good stewards of land. I'll give you a number. When I was working, in fact, at the time I was secretary, there were 3,000 employees in the Department of Natural Resources. Now it's 2,500, which is a major loss. And that was in the 1990s. And the responsibilities have grown, and both in terms of land to manage, but also the complexity, the size, the new environmental programs that have developed in the last 30 years. We need to put more funding onto the land in management for our purposes, developing efficient ways of reducing pollution, do more outreach and education with citizens. So Diane, you're correct. Minnesota has really gone past us. We used to be ahead of them on most of these issues. They've surpassed us tremendously. Michigan has surpassed us also.
Let's go to Bruce now in Dodgeville. Bruce, hi, what's on your mind?
Hello?
Hi, yes, go ahead.
Hi, George. My name is Bruce Calhoun. I think we have a mutual friend, Tom Howdy, who also worked in the DNR for many years. But what I wanted to talk to you about is taking a deeper dive on nature-based climate solutions, not only in Wisconsin, but as you mentioned, worldwide. I work a lot with forests in the tropics, and as you know, there's probably about 200 tons of carbon per acre in the rainforest, and all that goes into the atmosphere when we burn it down. And the thing about nature-based climate solutions, and you'll probably agree with this is something we can do almost immediately, and it can be a bridge to where we want to get to in 2050 with a completely clean energy grid.
Bruce, thank you. And George, I want to just bring you in here on, using forests to address climate change.
Yeah, and it's not just forests, but that's obviously a major way of uptake and tying up carbon. And if used properly, not releasing it or release smaller amounts of it ultimately. And it's just good land management. And it has benefits beyond climate. It has benefits in terms of job creation, in terms of logging and helping our paper industry in the state. But also agriculture can play a major role. All farmers manage their lands and through that end up tying up carbon within the soil where it is not released and emitting carbon into the environment. Land management, forestry, agriculture can play a major role, and it is positive in terms of economics and not necessarily costly. Government can help, for instance, educate landowners, private landowners, so land stays in private land ownership on how to do it, may provide some initial subsidies, which are very common, especially in agriculture, in terms of cost sharing, and get farmers started, and obviously help landowners in terms of forest management.
What about the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Fund? I mean, as you talk about land management, the fund created in 89 under Governor Tommy Thompson and the legislature. What is the legacy?
Well, and I had the privilege and honor to, when I was secretary, to sign off on the acquisition of 150,000 acres of land bought under the stewardship program, representing the dedicated professionals and DNR and willing landowners in the state. It provides, really is, they're not creating more land. And to make sure we have water quality, we have public access to lands for hunting, recreation, and other recreational pursuits, from snowmobiling to hiking to bird watching, fishing.
Governor Evers.
It's critically important, not just in terms of, go ahead.
I was going to just jump in here because Governor Evers wants to rescind a law that allows members of the legislature to anonymously block a stewardship project, and that surfaced yesterday in the Associated Press. Should lawmakers be required to object publicly?
I think whether or not you're conservationist or not, I think most citizens say, fine, the legislature does have ultimately control of the purse, but vote on it publicly. Let people know if you've got an issue, and sometimes they're legitimate issues. Oftentimes they're not, but object publicly and then have a committee, have a hearing, let the public come in and weigh in on their perspective, and then vote on it publicly. The lack of transparency on how stewardship gets tied up in the Joint Finance Committee is against democracy, as far as I'm concerned, and the principles of democracy. And I think most people, citizens, don't like secret government, which that really is. And I think the governor is right on this. I don't think this should be a conservative or liberal issue. It should be just a good civic government issue.
George, we are almost out of time, but in retirement, are you able to spend more time enjoying public lands?
I do. I really, I love getting outdoors. We've got a young grandson, our first, and as he gets older, he's going to be spending a lot of time outdoors with his grandma and grandpa and his mom and dad. I can tell you that. He's destined.
George, thank you for joining us.
Good to be with you, Kate.
George Meyer is former secretary of the DNR, past executive director of the Wisconsin Wildlife Federation, and remains on the board of the federation. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.